Well, good morning, everybody. Talking about change. There's change in the air. We sing the song, we need to move, we need to move. God is on the move. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you've chosen us to be your vessels in this hour to release your kingdom, to bring you, move your kingdom forward. Father, we thank you for who you are in each one of our lives. Lord, you are awesome. You are great and greatly to be praised. So we thank you for this morning. Father, I pray that our hearts will be receptive to hear this different message, that we will catch it by the Spirit, that we will hear where you are going, that we will catch what you are doing and where you are taking us. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yes, this is a total different message. So stay with me, be alert. I'm going to take you on a journey. August the 9th, 2019. Come for a walk with Case and me. We got up at 7:30 and went for a walk. You know how you go to the end of our street? There's the park. And we always go left towards Foreman. This time I said to Case, could we go right to that little path up to the Shoppers? Parking lot. Sure. So we went. At the end, there was a children's park. There was a young lady, 7:30, very, very wide awake, screaming, yelling, cursing. Words were coming out of her mouth that I'd never heard before. Foul language that I just kind of turned and I kept on walking. And so we went up that little walkway towards Sobeys, and already a police car was coming. So we kept on walking, and we walked to parking lot, which, you know, down the aisles, down the rows, and we just came back down again, and they were still talking to this young lady. And it gripped my heart. And I said, Lord, why does this get to me? Lord, I can't seem to let it go. And so I was holding all this before the Lord. And the day before, we have a prayer meeting every second Tuesday in our complex, and we pray for the elderly in the complex where we live. And somebody had said to me, Henny, have you heard this song? And I says, oh, I haven't. But all of a sudden, the Lord brought that back to me. And so I began to play the song. So we're going to listen to the song now because it's part.
Every single lie that tells me I will never make.
that song was playing, from deep within my spirit, I heard a cry. I heard a deep groan. First I thought it was the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and then I sensed, no, this is such a deep cry. And I held it before the Lord, and he said, it's the cry that this young lady represents. It's the cry of a generation that she represents. And I said, Lord, who is the generation then? And I held it before him, and all of a sudden, he said, millennials. Millennials? Lord, I don't know anything about the millennials, like between me and there is such an age. But the Lord hadn't changed his mind. So I knew there was a message here. Because I believe in bridge building. It is time for change. It is time to talk about this generation, the millennials. Some say they are 18 to 35. Some say they are 20 to 37. I have taken it from 18 to 37, so I wrap them all together. Could you put that scripture up, Jim, please? It's Romans 8. I am reading it out of the Passion Translation, but you'll be able to follow it. It is 19 and 20. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery and decay, and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. And for me, I just sense that was the groaning, that was the cry that I heard of this generation. Because it is a generation that God has marked. It is a marked generation for this time. And we need to catch up. And we need to catch what God is doing with this age group. I'm just going to take one more scripture. You all know it. It's in Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. We are God's creations, and so are the millennials. They're created in his image. This generation is so totally different than my generation and the next generation. This is a generation that has been set apart. Millennials, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here, are used to having their voice heard early on. And there are many voices right now. There are 80 million millennials worldwide. In January 2018, a report came out. More millennials are dying deaths of despair as the overdose and suicide rates have climbed to a highest record high. Canadian millennials between the age of 18 and 37 will make up the biggest group of eligible voters in this October's election. We are going to educate our millennials for the next one. In 2018, there were more than 7.3 millennials living in Canada, making them the largest age group since the baby boomers, and may be facing different challenges in creating wealth than all the previous generations of young Canadians. The latest has come out February 6, 2019. There are as many as 10 million people now in the millennial generation in Canada, accounting for 27.5% of Canada's population that makes them the largest generation demographic in our country. And Ontario has the highest percentage of millennials still living at home. 42.1% are still living at home. I learned a lot doing this study. I loved it. We have 7 grandchildren that are millennials, so I began to get an understanding of what makes them tick. They are so different, but God has made them that unique generation, and I'm so excited to bring this to you, and I am praying that we all will get a better understanding of this generation, that we do not lose them. Each generation exhibits characteristics, setting it apart from those who came before and those that will come after. And it has to do with the historical and cultural context in which they came of age. So one generation, now my generation, was deeply affected by post-World War II. The next generation was affected by the turmoil of the 1960s and the 70s. And then came the baby boomers. The world has been around for a long time, and the deepest problems that plague the millennials today have plagued every generation throughout human history. What's more, the greatest solution that we as a church can offer them is the same as it always has been. It is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation. Millennials are experiencing higher levels of anxiety, depression, and thoughts of suicide than any generation before them. It was not in our day. We never thought of anything like this. Many reasons have been offered, but none definitive until now. Millennials were the first children of so-called, listen to this, helicopter parents. You know what that means? It refers to parents who continually hover over their children anxiously, hindering independent development. Wow. This phenomenon has also contributed to the popular notion that millennials have an attitude of entitlement. I can see it. It's not their fault. This generation, the millennials, carries much higher levels of perfectionism. And those elevated expectations may to be the blame, so it should not be surprised that we have this epidemic of entitlement among the millennials. But it isn't their fault. We've seen it. We have like 7, so we've seen them all grow up. And we began to recognize that these little millennials, not called millennials yet, but these little ones were nurtured, spoiled, pampered by their parents who did not want to make the mistake of our generations. If you're my generation, I think you're going to see this. After all, our generation had rules. Wow, we had guidelines. Not only that, we had time restrictions. Yes, I had to be in at 10:30. Even on the night of our wedding day, when you have the, you have the rehearsal. I had to be in at 10:30. I had to be in at 10:30. Well, the fun starts after 10:30. Whoa, I missed it all my life. And we get married, and what do? We're home at 10:30. Didn't dare stay just in case my parents found out. But anyways, and this is one thing. They don't like restrictions. They live. Millennials are confident, ambitious, achievement-oriented, high expectations of self. This generation also feels overburdened with a perfectionistic streak unknown to their parents or their grandparents. It isn't just perfectionism that makes them overburdened with multidimensional perfectionism, which means these young adults feel pressure to measure up to an ever-growing number of criteria, a continual striving to reach impossible standards, which increases the risk of anxiety, depression, eating disorder, and suicidal fantasies. Perfectionism drives people to attempt to achieve unattainable ideals or unrealistic goals, often leading to depression and low self-esteem. We have millennials in our midst. You can't do it all. You don't have to do it all. Recent data has shown that perfectionist tendencies are on the rise among this generation. So can you imagine the next generation that follows the age group of 12 to 18? How is that going to look? Those are the kids of your age, Peter and Margaret. They're getting up there. I think one is 12 or 13. Statistics have shown that often we misunderstand them. And in fact, they are the most stressed group of young adults in history. 12% of millennials, have been officially diagnosed with anxiety disorder, which was nearly double the percentage of the baby boomers. Other studies have shown that 30% of working millennials are classified with general anxiety. A 2014 assessment came out and found that 61% of college students experienced anxiety frequently. That was only 5 years ago. Church, these are staggering numbers. God is on the move. And do you want to move with him in this new shift that he is bringing? We sing it. We need a move. We need a move. But we don't really realize it because we need to get out of our seats. We need to get proactive. And we need to begin to nurture our millennials. I do not believe that our generation had anxiety like these young people. Never heard of it. Anxiety can take on many forms and have many triggers, but ultimately it boils down to feeling worried or nervous about the future. And some of the contributing factors in this day and age is that it includes a tough job market, student debt, ambition, addictions, and career crisis. We never heard these words. We didn't even have these words they were not in our vocabulary. I think they made them up as the millennials grew and they added all these words because they're all new to me. I'm sure they are to you guys. We don't know this. We were not familiar with anxiety. We lived our lives just lived our lives innocently. Also, did you know that 80% of Canadians are now shopping online? And did you know that the millennials account for 33% of all online purchases? I wouldn't dare give my credit card. I know I'd be hacked. Something would be done, right? Oh, man, I'd be so afraid. I'm not doing it. I'm going to the store as long as there's a store. You're right on, Michael. You're right. You mean I've got to now shop online? Oh, dear. You got me. You got me. Good for you. Canadian millennial dreams are different from those of our generations. For instance, they want to be well-educated, have a well-paid job, because these are check marks of success, so they'll go all out. They're less likely than older generations to value owning property or being married or be in a domestic partnership. Furthermore, millennials are dealing with unprecedented changes involving a constant changing political and economic climate, along with demanding technology. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad that I know how to work my phone. It works. Along with, those technology-based lifestyles, stress and anxiety can negatively impact both mental and physical health. How does this millennial generation who does not know the Lord deal with it? How can we reach them? After reading and reading, I'm getting such an understanding of the need to educate our millennials. All those between the age of 18 and 37 want you to stand up. Show us who you are. Wow. Wow. There's a bunch of them downstairs, I know. You guys are awesome. You guys are great. You guys, do you still use that saying, you rock? Is that still in? Yes. You rock. I mean, come on, I need to change, so I want to have the latest. But there is something. God has kept you in the palm of his hand until this season, you young millennials. You've got your life ahead of you. I'll tell you, we as a congregation, and I know I'm speaking for everyone, God, we have your back. We are going to be there. We want to listen to you. We don't want to do all the talking and tell you. We want to hear your heart. We want to know what's in your heart, how you see yourself. We want to come alongside and help you. And we promise you that we will be proactive in this. Because I heard the Lord say, they are ripe for the picking. You may sit down. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. I know it. I know God has his hands on each one of you. Culture is changing, but the love and the power of God is not. The millennials come from 1,000 spiritual and intellectual directions. Some are Christians, others are agnostics or humanists, and a majority identify as none of the above. Millennials are a unique generation. They are a generation that has grown up in changing times. It has changed drastically from year to year on various of subjects. And the millennials have had a front seat for all of it. They are a difficult generation to reach, as they spurn and they do not like the way our religion of their parents or grandparents. It's old-fashioned. There's a study on religion in America and found that the percentage of people believing in God and claiming an affiliation with any religion has decreased, and they attribute it to the decrease in the millennials that don't go to church. I know in Holland, never even thought of it, but there's many young people that don't go, and I'm sure it's the same here. They don't go. So guys, this calls for a different strategy. We're going to have to meet them on their ground. To understand what is needed to reach them, we must understand the world they live in. Millennials have experienced the rise of the internet, and the leftover ideals of the 70s. Do you guys remember a little bit older, the 70s? I know there was the Jesus movement, but there was the flower girl, child, and it was all free. Yeah. 60s and 70s. 60s? More the 60s. Well, I know a little bit about it. And it has surged into a movement that the millennials find themselves out in a world where sexuality has become a statement of self, instead of their battle cry being centered on keeping the government out of their lives. The cry is now for the government to regulate those with whom they disagree. We see it in America. The majority of these disagreements revolve around religious issues. But regardless of the effectual and or intellectual and religious learning, what ties them together is that they all need to know the love of God. So maybe the first and the most important thing we can do as we minister to them is to remember we're ministering to human beings. They're not off the wall. They do need to be heard. They do need to know that they have our heart, they have our love, that we will come alongside of them. And the same good news that saved millions through the ages will, by God's grace, continue to do so in this generation. The song that I played, I just found out this week, it was on the news, you might have heard it, but this was Lauren Daigle's song. It was her first song, You Say. Number one on the radio, not even a Christian station, for 62 weeks. And I read that many who listened to this song were being saved. Can you imagine the power of this song? Ah, I know that this generation of millennials are hurting. We as Christians need to know how to reach them. But before we can reach them, we must reach ours. This is a millennial moment. This is a millennial move. And since we're surrounded by millennials, we better find out what makes them tick. Are we passionate about reaching millennials? Yes. Yes. Louder. Yes. Amen. If we, as an apostolic training center, want to reach this generation, then passion is over and above a so-called good message. I may have a good message, but I miss it totally with the millennials. The millennials. I'm not pointing at you, sir, at somebody here. They're not after our so-called good messages. It's also increasingly more important to have a genuine and honest response that comes from leaders who will do whatever it takes to reach the millennials with the gospel. Some pastors I have read have changed, had smaller facilities and stage sets, and it was more important to the millennials to be able to invite them in than having a great big building with a great big and a great big. But these were pastors that the passion just oozed out of them for the millennium. Because I'll tell you, passion beats polish. It's not about the biggest or the nicest buildings. It's about loving them where they are at. Millennials are drawn to places where they talk more about Jesus than God. Now we know Jesus is God. We know God is Jesus. But God can mean a lot of things to millennials because there's all many little gods that are out there now. Jesus is more specific. They can relate to Jesus as a man who walked on the earth. And to many of them, Jesus is their hero. I mean, after all, he died, he rose from the dead, and it was like a real hero story. Our mandate is releasing this generation to bring heaven to earth. Our strategy is to identify, to mentor, to equip and release the destiny of God's people to do the work of the kingdom through the teamwork of the fivefold ministry gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. As an apostolic training center, we desire to raise up an army of disciples to affect their spheres of influence by reaching out to those who are hurting and searching. The prodigals, this generation, in their homes, church, places of work, community, and nations. Do we want to see the kingdom of God advance? Then we must be willing to take chances, and we must be willing to change. Are we ready to lay down our life so that our millennials can come to maturity and be able to go out? I saw in my spirit millennials streaming in. Will we be ready for them? Because there's a shift happening in evangelism. Even evangelism is shifting. To evangelize millennials, we do not bring a book of four steps to get saved. Neither do we go up to somebody and says, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, 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 no. And it's not handing out tracts like we did in our days. I used to have a stack of tracts. That's not the way to evangelize. You get to know them personally. You don't go out there and just say, well, here's a little booklet, how to get saved. How could we have done that? Like, I'm thinking, Lord, we will attract them to Jesus Christ in a total different way. How then? Tell me, how then can we reach the millennials? What do millennials think? What do they think about faith? What do they know about faith? What will move them to Jesus Christ? How do we more effectively reach this generation with the gospel? How are we going to do it? What will move them to Jesus Christ? Stay tuned. In 2 weeks, we will have the second part. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, that's all we can say. Lord, we are willing and we are ready to move forward, to change, and do what you've called us to do, what you have called us to do. Oh, Lord, teach us your ways and show us your paths, that we may walk in them. Show us as a congregation to come together and begin to move in this so that we can send our ready millennials out into the community, wherever you will lead them. I thank you, Lord, you've kept them for such a time as this, hidden. And this is the time and the season that you are releasing this generation to bring heaven to earth. We thank you. We glorify you. We exalt your name. You are the only one. And it's all about you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.